Andrew Jackson once said, "The Bible is the rock on which the Republic rests." However, the Bible, even though it continues to be the best-selling book, is probably one of the most misunderstood books. And we need to realize that as Christians, we are under orders. And what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 2:15 to rightly divide God's Word. One of the many verses of Scripture that has been so greatly abused is not John 3:16, but Ephesians 2 and verse 8. Ephesians 2 and verse 8 says, "For by grace are ye saved through the faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." For by grace, the favor and the mercy of God Almighty. And are you saved through the faith? It is the medium in which all accept His salvation. Not of works, for man's inventions or devices cannot equal or relate to salvation. But here we do find in this verse two kinds of work. We find man's work and we find God's work. And therefore there are two sides of salvation. The divine side, grace, God's part, or that which God has given to procure our salvation. And then there is the human side, faith, man's part, that which we must do in order to gain salvation. These are all connected. Years ago, stationed in Charleston, they had an incident down in the port of Charleston. And it was a very serious accident, one that could have probably cost the city of Charleston half of the city. A ship had come down from the Norfolk area. It contained a material inside the ship that was, shall we say, not very stable. And the ship had encountered severe storms on the way down. And the cargo hold, the lids over the hold, had been compromised. And the material became highly explosive when subjected to water. But as we were standing down there on the dock, trying to figure out how we're going to get a cargo ship load of this stuff safe, I was amazed at the size of the anchor chain on the side of that cargo ship. And it wasn't one of those massive ships. It wasn't a super carrier or anything else. This was, I guess you could almost call it a tramp steamer, about 300 feet long. But the links were extremely, extremely big. Then I was reminded, being stationed at Homestead, Florida, the arresting cables that our aircraft in trouble would catch on the end of the runways to keep from going off the airfield. And it was a steel cable about an inch and three quarters in diameter. But just past that steel cable was a web that was attached to anchor chain. And each one of those chain links weighed 100 pounds. And whenever we had to move them back into place, we usually had to get one of the heavier, bigger vehicles in place to pull them back into place. This is a chain that we're talking about tonight. Links in that chain. And while this may seem to be a very elementary lesson for many of us here tonight. It is a lesson that we need to constantly remind ourselves of, because these links are vitally important to our salvation. With one of these links missing, salvation is not possible. But we're going to look at the divine side first of that chain. And as I said, all of these links are essential to salvation. And all of these links must be firmly connected together. And all of these links that we'll discuss tonight are connected to the Creator. He stands at the very beginning of that chain. He is the anchor of that chain. And we can understand this when we see Genesis 1 and verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The very beginning of that chain. And He started there the links. In the 100th Psalm in verse 3, it says, "Know ye that the Lord is God. It is He that hath made us and not ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." It is because of what we mean to Him that we are so blessed. And we must never forget that, for in Him we live and we move and we have our being. This is what Paul said in Acts 17. In verse 28, and he finishes that up, "For we are also His offspring." So we have a direct connection to God Almighty. The anchor of our chain is God, and that very first link is Jesus Christ, our Savior. And since from the very beginning, when man fell from grace in the garden, God promised that He would send one to deliver us all from the depths of hell. Now, we may ask ourselves, and many of us probably have, "Why did you do that, God? Why didn't you just scrap the whole project and start over?" This is probably because we don't understand fully the depth of God's love. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son," John 3:16. For what purpose? To give us everlasting life. To have that opportunity. Without Him, it would be impossible. And of course, you can't have one link without another, which is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the second link of this chain. This part of the Godhead is essential for man's salvation. A command to the apostles was given to go into all the world. They were to teach all nations. They were to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. You know, Barney kind of had talked about age in his thing and about forgetting things. Can you imagine if someone gave us a command and we were to go into all the world and we didn't have any books to take with us, but yet somehow we were supposed to teach all nations? Now, something had to help. Jesus didn't say, "Hey, look, I'm going to give you a laptop to take with you. I'm going to give you some Jewel Miller films to take with you." No, they had nothing. Nothing. But Jesus made them a promise that He was going to send them a comforter. And that comforter was going to put into remembrance everything that Jesus taught. We only have in the four gospel accounts a very small part of Jesus' ministry. And we have a very important part. But even John himself said that he could not record everything that Jesus did, that it would fill the libraries of the world. So something had to be there for the apostles in order to be able to do what they did. At the culmination of this plan of salvation, everything that Jesus did, and when he was placed on that cross and He died and He rose up from the dead, that plan was put into effect. And according to Acts 2 and verse 38, it allows us to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote in Romans 8 and verse 9, and something that we never forget, that we are not in the flesh, but we are in the Spirit. But it continues by saying, and if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you, that Spirit is dwelling in us. Without the Holy Spirit, we would be an empty shell. We would never know what God's will was. Because it says, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. Because we have God anchoring our souls, anchoring our lives, and Christ is the first link and the Spirit is the second link, we have as the third link the Scriptures. You go back and you look at the history of Israel, and you look back into Deuteronomy, and where God had given the commandment to Israel that they were to teach their children morning, noon, and night, whether before they went to bed, whether they woke up, that they were on their way. Constantly. It didn't last very long. It didn't last very long. People seem to, over the generations, forget the commandments of God. And where would we be today if we did not have the letters that the apostles wrote and we didn't have the Word of Christ? Would we be relying on word of mouth? Have you ever, as a child, played the game where you would whisper in someone's ear something and it would have to go all the way around the room and then the last person would have to tell you what the first person supposedly said? And how throughout those, when you got there in third grade, we had like 30 kids in the class, 35 kids in the class. And by the time we got to the end, it was nothing like the first one was told. That's where we would be today in religion, if it was not for God's written word. God's word directs us from heaven to earth. It tells us what we must do here to get there. And it is essential to our becoming a Christian. What if someone were to ask you, well, how do you become a Christian? If we didn't have God's word, what would you tell them? What would you tell them? We are reminded in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And then he lays it out, Paul lays it out for the reasons why. For reproof, correction, and instruction in life, no, in righteousness. So that we know what we may be or what we need to do in order to attain that prize. The Word lights our way in a daily walk. It's like the headlights on our cars at night. It shows us where we are going. It shows us what is in our path. Yesterday I was coming home yesterday evening and I'm trying to think what road I was on. It's not important, West Georgia Road. And I was going down and the headlights, I come around the corner and instead of turning off on Sandy Springs Road, I went ahead and went straight. I figured I'm not going to get into the mess of the traffic light down there. And I got there and as soon as I got around one corner, there was two does standing in the road and one fixing to come out. Now, I was just thankful that I'd just come from a stop sign. And I'm glad they put the stop sign there because there never was one there before. But my headlights showed on them. It showed me the obstruction in the road. God's Word shows us the obstructions. And if we follow His instructions, That light will keep us from all harm. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 6 and verse 23, "For the commandment is a lamp, the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." And while we may not realize it in this way, these are gifts from God. These are manifestations of God's grace. These vital links. Then we have the human side of the chain, faith. And the links that are involved in this is essential in completing this chain that anchors us together. The fourth link in this chain is the sinner. We constantly remind ourselves that those who are without Christ is an enemy of God. And Ephesians 2 and verse 12 provides us with a negative description of those who do not know Christ. And it reads that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. A sinner's salvation depends on becoming linked with God. A very important link in all of this is submission. If we're not willing to submit, we're not going to be connected. And in order to be able to enjoy the promises of God, we must have a complete surrender to Christ. As Romans 12 and verse 1 reminds us, we must present ourselves a living sacrifice. We might ask, well, what does that mean? What does that mean? That each and every day we must buffet ourselves daily, just as Paul did, in order to be on the right side of God. You know, we are bombarded each and every day of our lives with things that we know we should not do, with the temptations of this world. It's everywhere. It doesn't matter if you're driving down the road and somebody cuts you off. It doesn't matter if somebody said an unkind word to you. Those things are obstacles in our path. But being a living sacrifice, we overcome these things. We keep these things in check. There has to be complete obedience. And without faith, Hebrews 11:6 tells us it is impossible to please God. Without repentance, tells us that we will perish. And if we're not willing to confess Christ before men as the Son of God, there really isn't any point of going any further. The Ethiopian nobleman in Acts chapter 8, he understood and knew the importance of this, where he said in verse 37, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And then I would be remiss if I omitted Galatians 3 and verse 27. "For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." See, there's a key right there, because Christ gave His life for each of us. And because of that sacrifice, it is our duty, we are incumbent to obey Him. Obedience. And if Christ had to learn obedience, how important do you think it is for us to learn the same thing? Hebrews 5 and verses 8 and 9, "Though he were a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." Well, then God gives us this promise, Matthew 7:21, when we do His will, when we do the will of the Father. See, that's how we're going to enter the kingdom of heaven. We can change this around. We can omit this or that. But if we take out a link, it won't shorten the chain. It'll separate the chain. And we need to realize that baptism alone is not going to save us. While it is true that through baptism we are made white as snow, that we are given a new lease on life, that our salvation is only guaranteed by remaining faithful. Too many have fallen away. Too many have come to know and understand the gospel. Too many have come to obey the gospel only to fail to remain faithful. In Matthew 24, in verse 13, Jesus tells us that if we endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Because of what we were promised, we must be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Keeping our hands busy, not busy with earthly works, but with godly works. Now, God is the anchor of this chain. And we need the strongest anchor possible in order to hold fast in the storms of life. The strongest links are always on the top. Can you imagine the strength of the chain if the human side was first? Sadly, too many place themselves first and God last. And in every single case, the chain breaks and lives are lost. Is there a link missing in your life? In God's plan of salvation, you can be anchored to Him through it. By believing and confessing, by repentance, confessing, and being baptized, you can be connected to God. You can connect that human chain to God's chain, and then living that faithful life. Sometimes, as Christians, we seem to disconnect, and we loosen up a little bit of that chain. We break one of those links. Maybe we're not always faithful. Maybe we don't always do what we're supposed to be doing. Maybe we need strengthening. God can strengthen us. God can save us. We just have to allow Him to be able to do those things through our obedience. If there's anyone here this evening who is in need of the invitation this hour, whether it is to be baptized for the remission of sins, or whether to ask the congregation for prayers for whatever state you're in. We want to give you that opportunity now as together we stand and we sing.